This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Anyway, it's a welcome to Kerry Dixon again for the Kerry Dixon preview show. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, thanks, Dave, and I'm glad to say things are looking a little better. Chelsea by the odd goal last week. It was very entertaining second half. I thought particularly poor first half. I thought, goodness me, it's not going to be one of them again. But as I said, it's something in this team, I feel, that they've got the ability to rise above a situation, and they did exactly that. Wasn't the people we expected, wasn't the Costas, the Hazards. It was a couple of different lads, but I'm pleased for Victor Moses. I think he's been putting in a fair shift all season. As I said last week, he's got himself into the team, he's got himself into a position that suits. He's worked very hard to do it, and finally he's getting his rewards, and very pleased for that one. And Pedro, pretty much the same. I mean, William started the season. It's still probably a toss-up between the two, but as we've said all along, and I think Antonio Conte must be listening to us, because we've said if it's not broke, don't fix it, and it's not broken, and he's not fixing it. And we just seem to keep going. So, you know, wonderful goal from Pedro. And William will sit on the bench along with JT and some of the others who would normally expect to be in the starting lineup.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, the thing that I'm almost as happy about, other than Chelsea winning, is the fact that I got the score prediction right for the second week in a row, albeit it wasn't a last minute winner, which is what I'd predicted, but it was a great win. But I mean, going back to the first half, and I kind of wondered whether it was a case of Spurs kind of working us out tactically or us not really being at it enough. I mean, what do you reckon?
I thought Spurs were excellent in the first half. I thought they played really well. I thought we were well off the pace. And I think that, you know, something was said at half-time. I don't know what. I've not heard about any hair dryers or anything like that. But, you know, the team were better in the second half. And Chelsea fans might not agree with me, but I'm sure Tottenham fans will. I thought that a draw was possibly a fair result over the 90 minutes. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about collecting 3 points. And I've said already, quite a few times this season, we've got to pick up the points, whether the performance is as we'd like it. It's all about the 3 points. And, you know, 3 points against Spurs, a good second half and not so good first half, is all that matters to keep us in the top of the league at the moment. So, you know, it was very welcome from that perspective, even more so because it's probably our biggest rivals in the Premier League.
Yeah, hear, hear and amen to that. It's interesting, actually, because you mentioned Pedro up front, and I have to shamefully admit that for much of last season, I was on his case a bit. I just didn't think that this was somebody who could play, you know, in the Premier League. Just didn't think he was physical enough, and he got pushed off the ball a lot easier. I'm delighted to say that it appears that I've got it horribly wrong. But what do you make of Pedro?
I wouldn't dive in and say you've got it horribly wrong just yet, but at the end of the day, he's part of a winning side. And, you know, Williams still has a fair bit to offer, albeit it's not a straight swap. I mean, the squad will be rotated undoubtedly during the course of the season, certainly over the Christmas period coming up. I can't, although I'm sure he'd like to, keep a settled side throughout. But I'm sure there'll be one or two niggles and possibly one or two suspensions, and the squad will be rotated a little bit. And I'm sure the poor fella who comes in, if he were to drop a point or get a draw or, dare I say, lose a game, the fella that come in would get hammered for, I'll get back to the original side, the one that wins everything. But we all know it's not like that either. You know, it's still the squad. But while the team are going on a winning run, it'd be foolish to change the side. And Pedro, he's part of it. You know, it's working. There's not one of them players at the moment would expect to be left out. The manager couldn't justify a rotation, and he'd have to justify it to everyone. And, if a team were to come a cropper because of the rotation, he wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And people would say, why did he start messing around with the side and so on? It was winning. You know, he's not stupid, Conte. He's not going to do anything. It'll be the same team as long as everyone's fit. And on the other hand, as I've said for the second time now, it won't be anyone's fault who comes in from the squad. It won't be John Terry's fault. It won't be William's fault. It won't be anyone's fault who comes in. It'll just be something slightly different.
I mean, just you're kind of finishing up on Pedro, really. I thought he took his goal really, really well. It was a super goal, wasn't it, Kerry?
Fantastic goal. Set out to do it. Executed it perfectly. Not a lot I can say. Pedro and Moses, you know, it was interesting this week. Harry Redknapp come out and said, you know, and I like Harry, he's a good lad, and he says it as he sees it. And he said that he would, if he had to pick a team, he would take more players from Spurs side than he would from Chelsea side. And, you know, you start to look at the players, and you start, I said last week about the back three, and, you know, are they all top draw? Well, there's arguments left, right and centre. Is the midfield top draw? You know, who would you take? You know, maybe Harry Redknapp's got a point, but that'll be his decision. But at the moment, I'm sure every manager in the league, possibly with the exception of about two, would pick this Chelsea side.
Yeah, and I think you can add to that every single Chelsea supporter, because they all thought that he must have been smoking something when he was coming out with that, just based on what we were seeing. But talking to managers, Kerry. I mean, you're right. There was a real big... I mean, obviously, it was a good time to score a goal. And, you know, the old adage goes that you score just before half-time. It's a great time to score. But we looked a different team in the second half, and it kind of made me think, I wonder what Conte actually had said to them at half-time. I mean, what do you think he might have said?
Well, for sure, he said, momentum is now with you. You can't play that poor again. And if you were to play that poor again, our current run is going to come to an end. You've got to buck your ideas up, because... The impetus was improved right from the start, shutting down quicker, passing the ball quicker, doing things better, more accurate. You know, and it wouldn't take Antonio Conte or anyone, a masseur or a kit man, to actually say to the lads, they'd know himself, you know, in that dressing room, this needs to improve. You know, come on, what are you doing? When I do, come on, let's speed it up. And they G each other up. You know, everyone knew that's not important. And, you know, all it would need is a few... This game is big to the fans. This game should mean a lot to you. We're top of the league. Do you want the league? Do you want to win it? Do you want the run to continue? All the questions are there to be answered, and the players answer them emphatically in the second half.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I think in the process, you know, we passed a particularly tough test. I mean, going behind for the first time in a long time. But we ended up top of the table, which is where we want to be. Arguably, we've got a bigger test coming up on Saturday against City. And the first thing, really, Kerry, it's an early kickoff, half 12 kickoff, and it kind of begged the question for me: does that affect the players? And did you have many early kickoffs like that in your time?
When you say it affects the players, it shouldn't do these days, because, you know, let's be honest, modern day players must be used to different kickoff times. You know, television is dictating kickoff times along with the police and so on, and. You know, they've got to be more used to these situations of different kickoff times. Does it affect... In the olden days, certainly when I played, there was one or two early kickoffs, one for the frost and the pitch wouldn't be playable or whatever. I remember a Sheffield Wednesday game. I think it might have even been a semi or quarter final. We got beat in a cup competition, kicked off early because the pitch wouldn't have been playable by about 4 o'clock or something like that. I didn't like it personally. I got to be honest, love evening games. But, you know, the traditional 3 o'clock, I think you can't beat it on a Saturday afternoon. But,
yeah.
You know, we've all adapted to the modern way. We know there's a game on Sunday at four, and most people look forward to that. And most people look forward to the fact there's going to be a Monday night game. That certainly wouldn't bother me. But, no, the early kickoffs, they do add something, but it's the same for both teams. You've got to prepare for it, and, you know, it wouldn't be used as an excuse by me, and it certainly wouldn't be an acceptable excuse of any of the modern-day players. I don't like the early kickoffs. You might not like it, but there's 22-plus as many subs willing to play out there, and, you know, don't like it doesn't really come into it.
Yeah. I mean, I can say with absolute certainty, Kerry, that most supporters that I know, like you, think that God's chosen time for football is 3 o'clock on a Saturday, but also an early kickoff at the weekend means less time in the pub. And actually, there is a direct correlation, I think, between an early kickoff and less atmosphere. And I think it's right down to the fact that we've not had enough time in the pub to loosen the vocal cords, shall we say.
Well, that depends on which way you look at it. Some people might say it's more time in the pub because they'll go after the game and get home a little bit earlier at night.
Well, that's a well-balanced argument, Kerry, one with which I cannot disagree, I have to say on that. Anyway,
so.
looking forward to the game. Obviously, you know, Pep Guardiola's come in as the manager of City this year. He hasn't had an awful lot of success against Chelsea, particularly when he was the Barcelona manager. So you know, what do you think of Pep? Do you rate him?
Who can't rate him? I mean, if football's a results business, as I always say,
yeah.
The fellas produce results, same as Jose Mourinho. You know, but it all depends what your results are. But every country he's gone to, albeit he's managing top sides, he's produced, and he can't be knocked. He's a good manager. He does some strange things, but if the results are right, there's not a supporter for any club that he's managed is going to complain. And, you know, I certainly don't hear of any complaints when he goes back to previous clubs. They win everything. You know, Munich won what they won. Barcelona were incredible. You know, and I think he's got City right up there with the best. I really do. I think they're a challenger in European and world football. I think they're a good side. I think they're a good squad. You know, it is a results business. And he will be judged in the Premier League and in Europe. You know, in Europe, he stands on par with everyone else over previous exploits. But in the Premier League, you know, he's got to win something. Otherwise, it'll fall a little bit short. But I'll tell you what, I do believe this City side, Liverpool are our biggest challenges, I feel. I think Tottenham and Arsenal will be there and thereabouts. And I think Manchester United will join in to some degree. But at the moment, if Chelsea are contenders, and we realistically are, if we can continue playing the way we are for the rest of the season, like that. But City and Liverpool, at the moment, are our biggest rivals. And this is going to be a tough one, City. Now, if I had to pick a side, and you know, everyone that might disagree, or they will disagree, I think City are the favourites. I don't know. I should know in the bookies. I don't know there as much as I used to. But I should know. I would imagine City are favourites for the league. I don't know where they actually are. I mean, Chelsea, Liverpool, I think that would probably be the three. And I wouldn't know what particular order.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. And where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
I think I agree with you there, Kerry. I think it is going to be a very tough test for us, possibly our biggest test since, Conte turned things round. And I think, as well as that, I think it might actually be a very interesting contrast in styles because, I think even before Pep Guardiola turned up at City, there was a feeling that City are trying to turn them into, an English version of Barcelona, if you like, certainly in the style of play. I've got to be honest, I've never really liked this whole tiki-taka stuff. It's not like proper old school football as far as I'm concerned. But do you agree with me? Do you think there will be quite an interesting contrast in styles there? And I think in particular, how are Chelsea going to set themselves up and try and get a result, which for me, a good result up there will be either a draw or a win, obviously?
Well, of course, that goes without saying. And that's what it's all about. We played some good football in my day, and there was another one, Eddie Niedzielski would kick the ball, either me or Speedo would flick it on, the other one would run through and score. Three
football,
passes
mate.
And a goal. Whether it's proper football or otherwise, if we won 1-0, everyone's happy. The tiki-taka stuff that Barcelona played was fantastic to watch. But sometimes people take it, they take it too literally. People just playing sideways passes, backward passes, across the back four, and they get down a possession stat, kept the ball for 2 minutes, and you've actually gone 10 yards backwards. Football is a progressive game, and it's all about working the ball to try and procure the best end product. That should always be the case. However, means it takes. If you tend to go route one, Wimbledon went to the top doing it. Everyone, the much maligned Wimbledon, but they had success at it. It was total route one, and everyone hated it. Barcelona did it the passing way. Is there a right or wrong way? I don't know. I think the only way is winning.
I don't know, mate.
I don't know. The thing is, I think the hierarchy at most clubs want first and foremost the team to win, and then they want to win pretty. And they want to pass 100 passes a goal and knocking the ball around the opposition. And yeah, I suppose everyone wants that. It's total football, and the great teams, the Dutch of Cruyff era and of course the Barcelona Pep side, they did that. If it's no good them doing that if they don't have the success.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate. Actually, it's interesting you mentioned that because I've got to be honest with you. You and I are about the same age, and I grew up watching that Cruyff-inspired Dutch side, and that's the best football I've ever seen played. But I have to say, as far as I'm concerned, it's all about sticking the ball in the onion bag, and what annoyed me about the tiki-taka system, if there is such a thing, it was this fanning around outside the 18-yard. Area, just get the ball in the bloody goal. That's all you got to do. Come on, that's what football's about. Anyway, how are Chelsea going to set up? Sorry, go on, mate.
They'll set up 3-4-3. The way they've been playing. I don't expect him to change that. Why change? Just because he's a difficult side. If he changes his shape and his system, as I've always said, though, the shape or system don't win. But if he changes it, and went something different. He would be open to a right slagging, especially if we got the wrong result. He'll do it exactly the same. And, if it works, this is the biggest test. Let's see if it works against the best so far.
I'll tell you, yeah, that's a really good point, mate. I mean, what I'm hoping really, actually, is that because City, to be fair and to their credit, they're a very attacking side with a lot of flair players. And I think it actually might give us an opportunity to hit them on the break and expose some of their defensive vulnerabilities. So I agree with you. He's not going to change how he's set up because clearly it's working really, really well. But I think what might change is that we might get more opportunities with a bit of luck. On the other end of the scale, of course, we've got to defend really well.
Yeah, acid test for the back three. But like I've said, acid test defensively for the whole side. I said the other week about, you know, it's not just the back three and how they defend. It's the whole team and how they defend. This is the biggest test for us. You know, at the end of the game, at the end of this session here, you're going to ask me my prediction. And I'll give you at the end of this, at the end of our chat.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, you just talked about defence. Let's talk about attack for a minute, because, of course, in a sense, it could be a game between two of the best strikers in the league, if not Europe, if not the world, in fact. And that would be Aguero for City, who recently has done very, very well against us. And, of course, our very own Diego Costa. Rather than kind of discussing the merits of each of them, who would you have in your side, Kerry? Who would you prefer?
Sure. Both. Both are excellent players. Of course, you would. You wouldn't turn either down, and you'd find a way, if they were at your disposal, which one, you know, to fit them into the side. Both wonderful players, both talented goal scorers, neck and neck for the golden boot in recent times. It's so difficult to choose. One has slightly better qualities in certain areas, and the other one will have slightly better qualities in different areas. You know. Both gold dust to their teams.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, Aguero's a superb striker, I think. But, you know, they have very different styles, I think. You know, that's how I would describe it. And actually, kind of talking of that, one of the things that I was very impressed about against Spurs, with Costa in particular, was the way he played with his back to goal, you know, feeding other people in. I think I've noticed that actually a lot over the last few weeks. It seems to have kind of added another dimension to his game. And I mean, in a sense, you know, I'm always reminded of Drogba in that role. I thought he was superb at doing that. But I'm really encouraged to see Costa bringing that into his game a lot more.
Well, I'm not sure about him bringing it into his game. You know, I wouldn't have said he'd be bringing it into his game. It's obviously part of the armoury. If a ball's played your feet, hold it up. You know, if you've got midfield players running off, then by all means, play them in. Most decent players can do that. And you said Didier, but I think Mark Hughes was probably the best at it that I've seen as a striker, you know, holding the ball like you play into him anyhow. It protect the ball and make sure it's released to a player on the own side. So he'd be one of those. But Didier was good, yeah. I mean, as a target man, if we were in trouble, there was always a plan B, if you like, you know, passing football. Didier, knock it up to him, he'd challenge, battle, knockdowns, and or even hold the ball up and allow the team to get out if we were under pressure a little bit. So, yeah, of course, I understand that one as well.
Well, absolutely. And I think the point I'm really making is that if you've got, you know, a team with a few other creative players, I mean, Pedro, the goal he scored, was obviously fantastic, and Hazard as well, that, you know, it just shows that, I mean, it's a bit of a difficult argument, isn't it? And I think particularly speaking to somebody like you, you know, you want your striker to be really, really selfish and always have an eye for goal. But on the other hand, I think it's good to see that he's prepared to be unselfish and play other people in to score, because ultimately, hopefully, that means that the whole team will score more goals.
Well, you know, we'll beg to differ slightly.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah, my idea would be, why would I pass it if I had the slightest opportunity to shoot? Because as far as I'd be concerned, I'd have the best chance of scoring. You know, why lay it off to a Spackers or a Johnny B? No disrespect to that. You know, if I had half a chance, I'd have a better chance of scoring a goal. So, you know, given the choice, and I'm sure Diego Costa would feel the same, if he had a slightest chance of scoring, albeit midfielders run and he can play him in, if he had a chance of spinning and shooting himself, I'll be willing to bet that I know which option he'd take.
Yeah, to be fair, Kerry, we wouldn't have had you any other way, mate. Trust me.
you might not have got me any other way, but David Speedy would have some other way, but, you know, that's another story.
Listen, mate, it's time for our predictions, I think, so I'm gonna let you go first. How do you think this is going to pan out?
I'll take the draw now. I think we're going to have limited chances. If we do get an opportunity to strike, we need to take it. I don't see it being a goal fest unless they start early and get a few goals and force us to come out. It could go anywhere. There's enough players on the pitch with wonderful ability to score a lot of goals, but I actually think it'll be a lot tighter than that. I think Kante and Matic will sit deeper than they possibly have been before, right in front of the back three. And I think our chances will be at set plays and on the breakaway. And, you know, if we do get that opportunity, it'll be important that we take it. If we miss the one or two opportunities that I feel might come our way, then I think that City's got enough firepower that might make us pay. But I can see us getting a draw. I just hope I can see us getting a draw, but it wouldn't surprise me if we got beat, and it wouldn't surprise me if we won either.
Mm. I'm actually inclined to agree with you entirely on that, I have to say. I've just got a sneaking suspicion that, you know, Conte, I think, is an incredibly good manager, very tactically savvy, and I can't see him going gung-ho against City. I think he's far too shrewd for that, and of course he is an Italian, so in a sense we'd expect him to do that. So, you know, I can never, ever predict that Chelsea are going to lose a game, so I'm with you on that. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. That's my shout.
Let's agree with that. I don't know how many we've got right. I think if you go back over the shows we've done so far, I think we might just have poked our noses in front last week. But 1-1 for me as well.
Yeah, me too, mate. And before we wrap up and I send you on your way, because you're about to do an evening with Gary Chivers and Ron Harris, aren't you?
Yes, I've been invited down to Spelthorne and just doing an evening with Ron, and Chivers is there as well. So one or two stories have been told. Some have been heard before and some haven't. But nevertheless, I'm sure everyone will have a good evening.
Sounds like it's going to be a cracker. Do send the best regards of the Chelsea fancast to both Ron and Chivs.
Will do. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Now, that's all right, but as a quick one, actually, before I go, because I just got a message in from a mate, actually, called Steve, who wants to say thanks for signing the book on Saturday, my Christmas prezi from my lad.
No problem at all. Tell him absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, that's great stuff, mate. I'll look forward to speaking to you next week, of course. You have a cracking week and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Cheers, Dave, and you. Bye.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.